and welcome back to the show. Let's go. Line number two, say good morning to the outgoing president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pat. I guess, yes, I am outgoing for the next 7 months, but in the meantime, I'll try and do what I can.
You know what? I don't even know why I said it like that, Dean, because I had spoke to Trent Langdon not too long ago, and I know that you've got a lot of time left to your tenure, so my apologies. The president of the NLTA, Dean Ingram, welcome to the show.
No apologies necessary, but certainly I guess the first thing I wanted to say is all the best to you and everyone at VOCM over the holidays. I certainly enjoyed our dialogue and certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak on matters related to education for the past 3.5 years, but certainly appreciate it. Patty, the main reason I wanted to call this morning, first of all, I want to say thank you. I mean, thank you for raising and stressing the importance of everyone attached to education, our parents, our students, teachers, educators at large, of taking the time this holiday season for themselves to rest, relax, and rejuvenate. There's no doubt that this has been a very taxing year for everyone attached to education. There are increased demands on teachers' time, increased anxiety, increased stress, and that's certainly something that has rippled through the entire school community, including parents and absolutely including students.
Yeah, I mean, some of it, of course, would be the great unknown. And we were really late in the game before even teachers and administrators had a good understanding of what the school year was going to look like. You know, when you get off to an anxious start, it's really hard to turn it back into a so-called normal course of proceedings. So it's quite understandable for everybody, especially inside the province of schools, why it's been a challenging year. It's been a challenging year everywhere. But even when we talk about nothing changed in schools, other than protocols, the numbers are what the numbers are. So I get it. And I hope the teachers, vice principals, principals, custodial staff, support staff, and students, of course, and their families, a little decompress will go a long way.
Well, without question, it's certainly needed, arguably, this Christmas season, this holiday season, more than ever. We know that there's numerous studies done on the mental health of students and certainly teachers as well. Most recently, a national survey, almost 70% of teachers on a national level. And this mirrors what I'm hearing locally, anecdotally, from teachers in this province, that teachers are concerned with their own mental health and well-being, and there are numerous studies that show a ripple effect and a carrier effect that the mental, when situations are such that the mental health of teachers are being challenged, that without question ripples over and extends into our student body as well.
Of course it does, and understandably so. So, right off the bat, with the challenge and some of the concerns that we've heard voiced by public health officials and otherwise, I know the teachers sent home their students with some learning materials just in case. Are teachers thinking that there might be an extended Christmas break, or is that even in the cards to even consider at this moment in time? Because there's a lot of things that have to be prepared for if that's where we find ourselves, in scenario B or C.
We've had been involved with no discussion about extending Christmas break at this juncture. It's not something that I've been part of any discussion, neither of any of our staff on that. The move by NLESD to proactively send students home with their materials is the right decision. We all, in just in case, we all want our schools to be open. Our schools need to be open without question. But in the event that in various school communities, and we've had discussion, and I will be up front saying that we were concerned to hear the chief medical officer reference that even a case in a school community may not result in a school closure. That did create concern, and there'll be additional dialogue on that as the Christmas season unwraps and unfolds into January. But to have students with their materials at home makes sense. We know the dynamics that happened last March. That created a lot of unnecessary confusion. I would say that proactive measures are always the right one. Had we seen this degree of proactivity back to spring, I think there are a number of things that would have rolled out much, much smoother. So we'll see a proactive approach, and we're in favor of that.
Well, as would anybody, I think, be in favor of that. Being proactive as opposed to dealing with something when something goes wrong and the chaotic nature of it would be devastating and really hard to get back on track. So I think it's really quite wise what teachers and I guess the school board has recommended as they send the students home for the Christmas break. Good stuff. What else would you like to discuss regarding the first part of the school year, Dean?
Well, I think one thing, as school year unfolds, it's very important that everyone over the holiday season, over the Christmas season, adheres to these public health measures. As I've mentioned numerous times on your show, we will never know if we've been too cautious, but we may find out very quickly if we haven't been cautious enough. School year 2021, we want to, at some point, this year approach a normalcy in this province. The best and surest path to getting to that normalcy is adhering to the measures throughout the entire province, including our schools, which we'll have other discussion to have at another point. The more tightly we adhere to those measures, the more likely we will get to normal in a quicker basis. We know the vaccine has now recently announced. My understanding is that the Moderna vaccine has now been approved by Health Canada. Things will roll through. Hopefully there are other vaccines that will meet the standards of efficacy and efficiency, and they'll be available. And as the vaccine rolls out, now is not the time to let up. Some of the concerns I've had, I think in anecdotal conversations, that people are starting to drift in complacency because they think the vaccine is here today. Well, the reality is not here today. And we still need to adhere to those measures over the coming months. Normalcy will most quickly return if we adhere to these measures. The masks wearing, the distancing, the hand washing, various sanitation procedures, critically important. We all want normal, and we'll get there quicker if we adhere to the measures prescribed.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just a beacon of hope for many. It's not the end of the road. It's going to be well into the fall before Canadians who want a vaccine are going to get a vaccine. So all the public health measures are going to obviously remain in place. Now, you might see some restrictions eased on capacity numbers and or travel. I don't know. That might be part of it. But our individual responsibility doesn't change for months yet.
Absolutely, and we've seen most recently some of the things that can happen when jurisdictions become complacent and let up too quickly, most notably Ontario. We know what's happening in Ontario. My understanding is Ontario and Christmas Eve, of all days, is going to a complete lockdown. We want to avoid those lockdowns. We want to keep COVID at bay, and I want to stress this. This province has done very, very well as a whole. The best way to keep it that way is to ensure that we all follow those measures that are needed, that are advised. That's our best. To follow that advice everywhere in the province, including our schools.
I mentioned, you know, the hierarchy of getting the vaccines, and we know full well they're dealing with frontline workers, healthcare in particular. But with the issues surrounding the student population, it is what it is in the province of schools, and the youth may indeed not see any severe reaction if they test positive, but their nans and pops might, the teachers might, their teachers' families might. What does the NLTA have to say about where the teachers and support staff administrators should fall on the priority list?
Well, I've already reached out to the Premier, wrote him a letter on the issue of vaccinating teachers, and I'm certainly looking forward to his reply. As for the association position that I represent, teachers and other school staff should be prioritized for vaccination following vulnerable population healthcare workers. We should be ranked at Tier 2. It's a position of the National Canadian Teachers Federation, which I sit as one of the national vice presidents. That's something they're advocating. The NLTA supports that position. If we want to keep our K-12 schools open and functioning as a priority for government and important society, then ensuring the safety and well-being of teachers should also be prioritized. I've raised several times a concern about availability of substitute teachers. If we have a vaccinated teacher population, the need and demands for leave for teachers could be lessened, and that would help the system as a whole.
What has it meant to the system with the additional teachers, say, for instance, retired teachers, now able to work up to 90 days without seeing a pension clawback? Has that already been a boon or some sort of relief to the teacher, the sub-list?
I haven't seen any data on that, but I want to stress that there is an acute measure put in place in the short term. It certainly wouldn't characterize that as being a long-term fix.
No.
There are deeper discussions that need to happen, but allowing administrators access to another pool of candidates to call in the absence of availability of active substitute teachers can be a positive. But I will be upfront, I haven't seen any data on that other than qualitatively. I know there are parts of this province that for a number of years have relied extraordinarily heavily on retired teachers. And when those individuals exhaust their 60 days, those communities had no one to call. So again, it provides an acute measure of relief, potentially, but it certainly isn't something we characterize as a long-term solution. There needs to be deeper dives in terms of why is it that others aren't choosing education? Why is it our substitute teachers are becoming less available? Are there logistical things that could be done? Are there programming and scheduling things that could be done to more efficiently use the substitutes we have? These are all discussions we need to have with all of our educational partners, the Department of Education, NLESD, CSFP, Federal School Council, all of our partners. We need to get this right, and that move is an acute measure, but it's certainly not a long-term fix.
Dean, I always appreciate your time. Thank you for this. Hopefully you have a great Christmas.
One more thing to go. I just want to extend Merry Christmas to our Department of Education, the School Board Association, CSFP, and the LSD, the Federated School Councils, all of our educational partners, all the best this holiday season. And it goes with saying the same extension of best wishes to you and your entire audience. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Pleasure. Take care, Dean.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. It's Dean Ingram, the president of the NLTA. Let's take a break. When we get back, we mentioned off the top of the show, today is indeed the winter solstice, the shortest day, the longest night of the year, but of course a special one this time, the Saturn-Jupiter conjunction. For the first time in about 800 years, there's visible separation, about 0.1 of a degree. Join us after the break as the former executive director of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. That's Randy Atwood. And then you, don't go away.